Season 2, Episode 15, Bombs Away, opens up with Sipowicz and Simone getting laundry and talking fashion.
Do you think they got the name of this song, or the name of this episode from the Lagwagon song?
I don't think that's possible with the time. When
did that song even come out?
I don't know.
Because I doubt it came out before 95. Anyway, that's not the point. So they're walking around talking fashion. It's a very unassuming opening to a show, because usually they open up with a homicide or a story piece related to an earlier story, or related to the characters. And then out of nowhere, they hit a guy in their car.
What year?
95.
Yeah, the album came out in 95.
Did it come out before February 95?
No, November 21st, 1995.
This episode aired February 28th, 1995, so...
Yep, okay.
Anyway, they hit the car, they get out of the car to talk to the guy. The guy is a Eastern European gentleman.
Yeah, and he's very, like, sketchy.
And he's a little all over the place. He's also...
He's a little jittery.
He's also a famous face named Richard Schiff.
Yeah, shout out to George Michael, he had a little jitterbug in him. R.I.P.
Richard Schiff, you may know as Toby from The West Wing. A lot of people love The West Wing, and apparently he's a big part of it. He was also in Seven as the guy that, I forgot who he was in Seven, but he was in Seven.
Uh-huh.
And he was also in Lost World Jurassic Park, if anybody remembers. He was the guy that got ripped in half by T-Rexes.
Really?
Yeah, he was the dude, Eddie, with the,
Was he the one trying to bring, the dinosaurs over?
No, he was the guy that... He was the technology expert on the short team with Jeff Goldblum and Vince Vaughn, and...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he was the guy that died because he tried to pull up the the trailer that was going over the edge, and the T-Rexes ate his ass. Anyway, the point is this. They go over to the guy, they start looking into his stuff, and there's a lot of noise coming from...
Someone starts hearing something from the trunk.
Starts hearing... Obviously, it's a person, too. It's not like just noises. Like, you hear groaning and thumping, and it sounds like a person.
Well, I think when he gets closer, like, you hear the words, like, help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, he's obviously, like, something's not right. And then they're like, what's in the trunk? And he's like, oh, it's animal. And he's like, shut up!
And he keeps slamming the trunk.
Bad dog or something like that. He keeps yelling at it.
Turns out there's an Asian lady in the trunk.
Guess he didn't get the Chinese food he ordered.
Rude.
How's that rude?
Rudy Tuesday.
How's that rude?
No, never mind. Then they start looking through his gear, and then it turns out he has what looks like a bomb in his car.
Well, they find a briefcase, and Sipowicz is acting all like fucking cool about it, like, oh, check out this briefcase. And then Simone's like, hey, maybe we should call him the bomb squad. And he's like, ah, bomb squad. Like, go suck a dick, Simone. He pops the briefcase. And then it's like some prop guy, like, just fucking put some wires together and shit. But, like, Sipowicz turns around and, like, shits his pants. And he's like, oh, we'll call the bomb squad. And it's like, no, duh, dumb fuck. Like, he almost killed yourself.
Like, if anybody remembers, there's that story about the little boy who brought in for class a clock that was in a tiny suitcase.
Yeah.
It looked like that. Like, it was just wires and, like, a little thing.
It looked shitty. It didn't look shitty, but it was just, like, I mean,
it really,
sign of the times, I guess.
It looked like a real first-year bomb, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my God.
First
year ISIS school.
See, I think mine was bad. Yours was worse.
You again have tons of shit on your other cheek this time. New episode, same dirty eating.
Same burrito, which means it's kind of cold now. Who cares? Still hungry. So they bring him back to the house. Sipowicz is talking to the lady.
Yeah, and the Asian lady turns out to be like a real tough guy.
And she's like, the way she's acting...
I ain't taking no shit. I ain't taking no shit from this motherfucker. He grabbed me from behind. If it was face to face, I'd knock his ass out. She was like Muhammad Ali for a second.
Somehow, like, in the way that you're talking about this episode, you're rewriting it for HBO. like the way you said, and then Sipowicz is like, ah, suck a dick, Simone. Like,
oh, so basically a new season of The Wire?
Mm-hmm.
No, but so he's talking to the Asian lady. Sorry, that's very rude. He's talking to the older lady who happens to be Asian.
The old Asian lady.
She's like, yeah, he came up behind me. She keeps saying he must be wacko, psycho, crazy person. Sipowicz says something like, oh, are you going to need someone to stay with you? And she's like, no, he comes, I'm going to knock him out. He's a wacko. And Sipowicz is like, that's the spirit, Mrs. Lee.
So, yeah, they have this, they have that.
So, wait, I'm racist because I said he must be mad because he didn't get his Chinese food. But the writers aren't racist because the only name they can come up for the Asian person is Mrs. Lee.
Kyle. Also, she had two scenes. They weren't going to try that hard. While that's going on, we have the return of a character that killed it in his other episodes, George Putnam, a.k.a. the Webster Killer.
Yeah, so Simone is busy with that, I'm guessing, because Andy kind of deals with the bomb thing all by himself.
And
Simone kind of deals with this Putnam thing all by himself.
Also, George Putnam was the name of one of the writers on the show.
Oh, really?
I found one of our fans, that's dumb. We don't have fans. We have listeners. One of the listeners kept telling us, well, me on Twitter, that George Putnam was the name of a writer, but every time he mentioned it, we had already recorded all of our Webster episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Thank you for that information.
But yes, George Putnam is a writer of NYPD Blue and now the character of Webster. And he's coming
in. Webster killer.
He's coming in because they're attaching more killings to him. They're getting.
Yeah, but he's admitting to a bunch of different killings. Like, now that he's, like, basically, like, he's basically on death row. I mean, what's the point of not just taking all your killings, you know?
But he also mentions that he's becoming a celebrity. Like, he says he's gotten interviews, they're going to do a book where he gets to do the audiobook version.
Yeah, because, like, his voice, people want to hear his voice or something. He says something really creepy. He said something, I forgot what he says, but he says something that really, like, what I thought was, like, weird. I was like, well, that was kind of weird.
If I remember correctly, he said, oh, there's I'm going to have a book, and I'm going to do the audiobook so you can listen to my voice. How chilling is that? And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, dude, are you, like, doing an infomercial for your own crazy-ass self? Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, but it seemed like he also got to a point where all he cared about was the fame now.
when... I want to get back to those good old days when serial killers did it for the art. Also, a person who's there is Arnold Rudman, the father of one of the women that was killed by the Webster killer.
Yeah, he's making a return. He is a fucking annoying.
And he shows up to try and get Simone to be a part of his foundation, which is like a meeting club for people that had a child get killed by a serial killer.
Yeah. And Simone doesn't want to go, if I remember.
Well, Simone, like, takes the information, and he's like, yeah, I'll consider it. But, like, he's not really interested in dealing with Rudman anymore. And as if you remember, previously on NYPD Blues, they mentioned that Rudman said, I'll pay you $1 million to kill him, to Simone.
Yeah, they have that weird interaction.
They transfer Putnam outside. Well, before they do that, Medavoy calls Dana like an idiot. I don't know why he calls Dana Abadondo. That's the dumbest thing ever.
Well, because they're super close. They're sisters. And he wants... I mean, at this point, he's like desperate and was trying to do anything to get her back, you know? It is dumb. You're 100% right. But I think he's at the point where he's like, I got nowhere to go.
So they take Putnam outside to transfer him back to prison, and he gets shot by a sniper.
Yeah, and while they're doing it, this the dad is still like hanging around, and that is weird.
And it's also weird because then he just like sits there and watches it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it'd be different.
Like yeah, in a weird way, like a creepy way.
He also said, at some point, I believe, Simone said, "This just went down. Putnam was shot outside. What do you know about this?"
Yeah, yeah, it was a little weird. It's like, it all happened, like, so quickly.
And just the way he's like, "This just went down." It was very weird. Very Fast and the Furious line.
Too fast.
Too furious.
Too furious. Have you seen the trailer for Fast and the Furious 8 real quick?
Kyle, I've seen it several times.
Okay, so
Sipowicz has the Eastern European guy in a interrogation room.
Yes, and he's being like, he's like talking about killing the like there's fascism here, and he's talking about like killing people.
Well, he gives the speech of like, "I can't believe you work for a country that harbors the rich and lets them do whatever they want, and the poor working people are the ones you throw in prisons and you beat down and you treat like shit." And at one point, Sipowicz says,
I work for the city of New York, pal.
No, I work for the city of New York, asshole. And then the other guy goes, I think you're a Polak.
Oh, yeah. Because he tells him he's Polish.
Yeah, and it's, oh man, it's great.
They get into him, and they get into the conversation, like, doesn't Sipowicz say, like, "Yeah, maybe I am just a dumb Polak."
Mm-hmm. And they're going at it inside the room, and while that's going on, Sipowicz finds a straight-up sniper rifle on the roof with a brand-new scope.
Simone finds it.
Yeah, Simone finds it. That's what I said, didn't I?
No, you said Sipowicz.
Simone finds a gun on the roof.
Fucking idiot. Yeah.
Simone finds a gun on the roof, and it has a brand new scope.
It's an old gun, but it's got new accessories.
New accessories. And there was a little thing, I don't know if you caught it, a witness was smoking a joint on an adjacent roof and saw them.
Yeah.
They didn't bring that guy in for drug possession.
Well, because he gave him help.
But I just find that very funny. I don't know why, but I wrote Martinez and Lesniak's Small Hope. I'm guessing Martinez was barking at the Lesniak tree for a little longer in this episode.
Oh, yeah, don't they work together on this something?
I think they might, but I don't know. I'm not paying attention to them at all.
Well, I know that last episode he was going to tell her that he liked her or something.
Well, the last...
She was sick, so he didn't want to, like, push it.
Also, last episode, he's asking Medavoy advice on relationships in the workplace, which is just supposed to be irony and hilarity.
Yeah, and then you see Medavoy have like a little bitch fit and cry a little bit. No, it says that Martinez keeps asking Lesniak to go on a date with him.
Oh, yeah, so it's just him trying.
Yeah, and, yeah, it's just him like trying way too hard.
Simone looks into these meetings with the Foundation, and it turns out it's mostly Rudman probing who's willing to take out this Putnam guy.
Yeah, because so he starts interviewing people from like one by one, right?
Yeah,
but
and
you don't see all of it, but you see him interview like this one lady. And she just basically, like you said, says like, "Well, we get ready to talk, but really only one person talks."
And it's this guy Sandquist, who also has a dead daughter because of Putnam.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Sandquist guy is like an ex-military sharpshooter, goes to gun ranges.
Well, wasn't he in Nam as a sniper? Isn't that his background?
I think so.
Like, I think they find out, like, they do a little research into him and, like, find out, like, "Oh, man, he's a sniper from Nam, blah, blah, blah." They bring him in and he's, like, super serious. And he has, like, his whole story laid out.
Yeah, and it's all such a, like, it's such a rehearsed story that Simone is like, "Okay, well, then we just gotta find the hole in your story, and then I can come back to you."
Yeah, and he says that he was watching, what? Was Regis and Kelly?
Yeah, he was watching Regis and Kelly, gave the interviewers, and gave...
No, Regis and Kathy Lee. So
yeah, Kelly wasn't around at that point.
Yeah.
And then we had to give it to Michael Strahan.
who bailed on her.
Yeah, straight bailed. What a dick.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. Anyways.
At one point, Gregory goes over to see Dana, who basically tries to fuck him.
Yeah, that was really weird. Because they kiss, don't they?
I think so. And he's just like, this isn't what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah. That whole thing got really weird really fast.
Also, famous face again, again, Deborah Messing, Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Oh, this is also where he says he did two tours in Vietnam.
Yeah, and he was a marksman, I think.
Yeah, he says I did two tours in Vietnam, and I fired at expert level. Does that mean I need a lawyer?
Yeah, he has that like really good scene.
That guy did a good job. I wonder if I could see his name.
Because I think one of the things they bring up against him is like your wife needs dialysis, and she went from like a shitty dialysis place to like the top place in the country.
Scott Hylands is the gentleman that played Roy Sandquist. He does a good job.
Yeah, and I think they find out it was funded by Putnam for him to do that.
Not Putnam.
No, sorry, you're right.
What's
his Rudman?
Name? Rudman. That's yeah, Rudman is paying for new dialysis, and he finds out that Rudman paid for the scope.
Yeah.
Like, they find out from the serial number, he straight up paid for the scope. And there was a driver who comes in.
But Rudman secretly has the scope reported stolen.
Yeah, so that he could say, I don't actually have the scope, I bought it for my brother as a gift, who does go hunting, but it ended up being stolen and I reported it.
Yeah.
A driver comes in, he's like, I was told to come in here if I have any information regarding the attack that happened here. And the guy's like, yeah. And he sits down with view of Sandquist in the other room. And he goes, yeah. Oh, well, I guess you don't need to talk to me. You already got him. And the guy, and Simone's like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I picked up that guy right after the shots.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's how they kind of get him even more.
So they have him dead to rights. And Simone...
And he takes it. I think he takes it because he's like... I mean, watching that again, I think if I'm that old man, I'm like, look, I can claim it was out of passion because he killed my daughter. People are going to have sympathy for me. I'm probably not going to get that long because I'm super old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the world's going to miss...
Putnam,
you know what I mean? So I get it. But yeah. My wife gets to live longer, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, so he admits to it, and Simone just tries to get him to go, okay, but you were funded by Alan Rudman, right?
Is yeah, Alan? And he can't get it.
Arnold, not Alan, Arnold Rudman. He's like, but Arnold Rudman paid for it and planned it with you. And he's like, nope, I did it by myself.
Yeah, he can't get him to turn on the guy.
While that's going on, Sipowicz is dealing with the Eastern European guy, and they go to his apartment, and it's like, you know... anti-American den.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of, paraphernalia.
He's got
to make bombs and stuff.
He's got a bunch of names in a notebook of rich and wealthy people.
Yeah.
And then they push the sofa away from the wall, and they just have a shit ton of just explosives in the wall, and Medavoy freaks the fuck out.
Yeah, Sipowicz notices the wall's different. Like, there's been work there, so he moves the bed.
So they come back, and he gets up on his in his grill again about, did you set something up? The lady said you went to the airport. What were you doing there? So we know that you were running around today. What happened? And the guy's still being a dick to him, saying, the dream, the nightmare of America. So...
Yeah.
Sipowicz just takes a statement about kidnapping the woman.
Doesn't he get physical with the guy?
Yeah, at one point he pulls his ear and slams him on the table and said, "Tell me, or I'm gonna break your head and spread your brains over the table and look through it."
Oh, that's pretty graphic.
And the guy kind of jumps back up and he says, "I have a family with bombs strapped to them. I demand a couple million dollars and they'll live."
Yeah, that's right. And then Sipowicz wants to know which family.
And he gets the address. and they go to the house, and they get there just in time to get the bomb squad to look at them.
Don't they take the list of names and they check them all?
I don't think so. If I remember, if I remember correctly, Sipowicz just beats the fuck out of him until he starts talking. Exactly what's going on. That's why they have that moment in the end where he has a moment with the guy in the holding cells, and he's like, "I just wanted to let you know that we found the family and now they're safe." And the guy says, "Like, you only beat me because I'm poor. Like, you only beat me because I'm weak.
Yeah.
I'm not American." And then Sipowicz was like, "That's where you're wrong. I would have beaten you whether you're rich or poor." No, he wrote that. He said this. I wrote down this line. "This is America. I'd beat you if you were rich or poor."
Yeah. That's kind of fucked up. It's funny, but fucked up.
Gregory asks Donna out to dinner to try and smooth things over, and it turns out she already knows about Dana. So he just shot himself in the foot.
Yeah, she gets really mad, which is understandable. I think that just, like, that sealed the deal of them never getting back together.
Yeah.
And I think she realized it, and she was just like, "I can't believe that."
Well, I think the next episode seals it, if I remember correctly. But we'll get to that next episode.
Oh, well, go teaser. Fuck yourself, too.
I believe the end of the episode is Simone has Rudman in an interrogation room. And that's where we find out about the scope being stolen and reported stolen. Simone tries to poke and prod at all of his holes. Wow.
Yeah.
That sounded dirtier than it needed to. He's trying to get him to admit to something so he could at least nail something to him when it comes to this murder. And the guy doesn't go for any of it. He's like, "I don't need a lawyer. I'm perfectly within my rights. And then what happened was legal. You have your man." Then Simone goes, "How about this? What if he changes his mind? What if your guy spends a year or two in prison and realizes he's got the raw end of this deal?"
Yeah.
And he cuts a deal with us to get less time. He's like, "You've already lost your daughter. Don't lose more of your dignity or humanity." And then the episode kind of ends.
Yeah, that was a good scene. Simone kind of gets the last laugh. But the reason I don't think that man will ever say anything is because his wife gets to live.
Yeah. It's very convenient that the Rudman guy found a dude whose wife needs dialysis. He's an expert sniper. He also had a daughter that died from Putnam. And he met him at this meeting.
Yeah, it was this weird, like, perfect storm, kind of.
It's the perfect storm of exactly what this guy needs to get a dude to murder George Putnam. Anyway, is there anything about the episode you wanted to say before we wrap it up?
No, these are good episodes. Like, I think this is when, like, Simone... This is, like, around the time when Simone and Sipowicz get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
As like, a duo, you know? And I think we start to see that as the episodes go on, and, like, they just get... I just think that middle and the end of season two is when it starts to, like, really become what it is for a while. It's just good.
Yeah, the only thing, like, everybody pretty much kills it. Richard Schiff, who plays the immigrant, who's, like, an anarchist, he, like... Parts of his performance, I was like, that's kind of an offensive stereotype. Like, like the accent, I was like, it feels a little too much at some points, but it was a good episode all around. Dug it quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com or MixedBagOfHats.com or where you find a podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or something like that. Kyle, do you have anything to recommend or say before we say goodbye?
Recommend or say, watch Broad City. Have I ever said that before?
I don't think you have. Watch Broad City.
Maria got me into it. They're fucking funny, man. That's all I can say. Like, the shit they write and those two girls, what they do, man, it's fucking really good. That's the only thing I can say about that. Broad City. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just watch Broad City. Workaholics, we've been watching the last season because it's ending. It's, like, weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty good this year. It's funny. It's crazy. I think they're going all out, having fun, and like getting away from the office more in this last season, which is really cool. But yeah, it's good.
Cool.
That's it.
Well, I've been Kirk, and I hope you enjoy and watch more NYPD Blue Balls. Be good to yourself and each other. Is that from Jerry Springer? Oh, it's take care of yourself and each other. I'm saying be good to yourself and each other.
I don't know. I'm not a Springer head.
You're not a Springer head? Jerry. All right. Later, everybody.